Father, we thank you again for your word, and we're very grateful, Lord, we're coming to the end, and because these lessons are hard, and I'm so glad that Daniel didn't know what they meant either, so that we're in good company. But you're a teacher, Lord, and each of us here today needs some bit of manna to chew on the next couple of weeks. So, Lord, feed us and teach us. As you know, where each of us are at. So have your way with us, Lord. We desperately need your touch this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, can you believe it? We're going to have, by the time the last lesson rolls around 24, which you have in your possession, we would have gone over chapter 12 three times. And then you'll say, well, I still didn't get it. It's okay, you got lots of good company. The first three verses of Daniel 12 review and affirm four major prophecies concerning the future of Israel. This is so important because when that day comes, they're going to be looking for answers, and here it is. And it's so important to us to know that God is not through with Israel. I have often said that if God is through with Israel, there's no hope for the church, because we're not all the best. Anyway, Israel will be ravaged. We looked at that last week. It will be a time of trouble. Jacob's trouble, it's called. And Jacob, of course, was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And where we get the 12 tribes. No, it wasn't just one wife, it was four wives. Well, actually, two wives and a concubine, two concubines. But we're not studying Genesis, so. Well, how did this all come about? Well, we pick it up in Revelation, is that the war broke out in heaven, and Michael stands up, and he faces with his angels, of course. Then he faces the dragon, and it's really interesting, a serpent. I can't remember when it was a few years back. I had one of the questions was, name all the names you can find in the Bible that describe the devil. And it was very interesting. He's a liar. He's one that deceives. He's the father of lies. Anyway, he goes to war with Michael and his angels, and the scriptures say the devil and his angels, but we know those are demons. And at this time, finally, he'll be cast out of heaven and to the earth, and it's a good thing we won't be here. I'd hate to think all the things he's going to do. Well, all I have to do is read the book of Revelation. The great tribulation will then begin. And Daniel 12 ties right in with Revelation 12, if you want to do a little study on that. Satan comes with great wrath because he knows his time is short. What will happen to Jerusalem? Well, we picked that up last week in Zechariah 4:2, where God will allow the enemies to surround Jerusalem. You think, why would he do that? That's his place. But he does that for another reason, and I'll get to that in a minute. Jesus said in his Matthew 24:21, he said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, and the Jews, of course, will see that, spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Now remember, this is going to be so important. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant or who are nursing in those days. And pray that your flight might not be in the winter. And that will be the time when the great tribulation begins. And so what does Jesus tell us? He tells us, get out of town. And because so many are going to be killed at that time. Now it's a real time of trouble. You know, he even said for the elect's sake, no one would survive. But for the elect's sake, he's going to keep it shorter. So we know it's only for 7 years. Well, we need the book of Daniel so we can better understand the book of Revelation. And you say, well, that isn't too important, is it? And I say, oh, yeah. At least 71 passages from Daniel are quoted or alluded to in 16 New Testament books. And if you just even look at Hebrews 11:33, that compares with Daniel 6. Just amazing things that sometimes we just read over because we don't pick up how important that is. But going back to Daniel 12:1, that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And that's going to be a very important time because, remember, he defends the Jews, and he knows the overall picture. So it'll be a period of war and famine and darkness and disease and demons. So if you're planning to go through the tribulation, you're going to be up against it. There's going to be a lot of problems. At the time, the earth will be experiencing wholesale slaughter. The collapse of heavenly bodies. Remember, we've picked this up in other chapters in Scripture where, you know, the stars fall out of the heavens and the sun, it doesn't give its light after it almost like it burns out. A third of the earth and the sea will be under scorching sunlight, and it will burn many people to death. Global warming finally kicked in. That's all I thought about after that. It'll be the real thing, but it's God instituted. And that really bothers me, though. I won't get off on that. It's like all these people are calling God a liar, and it's just very troublesome. Because he said until he came again, there would be four seasons. Well, if everybody's burning up, how can you possibly have a season? Well, that's not until the tribulation. So just tuck that in the back of your brain and remember that. God is so faithful to his promises. The horrors will be unleashed on the earth. And remember when we studied Revelation, there was just all kinds. There was a pit opened up and all these demons came out. And it's really a bad time. And when you start looking at the bowls and the vials and the trumpets and all the other things that are in Revelation, it'll be a very troublesome time, the blowing of the trumpets. And, of course, you have to know that that's all under God's control. If you want to compare what you've been studying in Daniel with Revelation, I would recommend that you read Revelation 6 through 19. Revelation 6 through 19 with Daniel, and you'll see how it all ties together. Well, Israel's going to be rescued, and that's the neat part. When you read those verses in Zechariah saying that they're all going to come upon Jerusalem, it's going to be wiped out, I think that's when the Jews suddenly wake up and think, we don't have the right Messiah. And they know that they will be all destroyed unless somebody steps in. And that somebody, we know who he is. So it's really important that your name be found in the book of life. And my leaders asked me, what's the difference between the many books and the book of life? Or it's the book of life. I thought it was a pretty good question, so I had to call my son and say, what's the difference? And he said, the Book of Life is only one, and it has all the names of believers in that. The other books are books of deeds. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of interesting, too. There's sometimes we pick up in Scripture, we pick up some facts in regard to this, for it appears in John's day, they had a registry. Where does this come from? You know, for you and I, we say this is really weird because they've got a book. And where did this kind of thinking came from? Well, back in the first century, they had books on every city. And it listed the names of every citizen. And that city, if a person committed crimes, well, they were erased out of the book and sent someplace else. I was thinking about that the other night. I thought, everybody be moving all the time. But they would be called, you had a chance, because they'd be called before a tribunal and his name removed, blotted out, and considered not a citizen anymore. And then he'd be forced to move somewhere. This is the type of idea behind the Book of Life. But let me settle that right now, is that there is no way you could ever be wiped out of the Book of Life, in case you were worried. But since that's only one book, and two fellows in Scripture said they'd like to be erased from the Book of Life if it could save so-and-so or save such-and-such. Moses and Paul. Because Paul ached so much for his people, not responding to the gospel, and Moses was hurting for his people. I mean, it's really amazing things for them to ask if they could be, if they could step in for these other Jews. But not possible, the Lord says. And I'm glad of that. I really am. So your book, your name's in the book. You can't be blotted out. And where that comes from, it comes from that, what they did in the villages. I thought that was kind of interesting. But, well, that's kind of the idea behind the Book of Life, and that's why people used to worry getting blotted out of it. So, well, we know in Zechariah 13, 8 through 9, that two-thirds of the Jews will be cut off and a third left within it. But he'll refine them like silver, and he'll test them as gold. And they will call on his name, and Israel will be rewarded. I think that's another amazing thing, because we have a tendency to cut and dry, you know, they're done. But again, the church would be done if Israel's done. Well, out of this period, some courageous individuals who will instruct people from God's word. So Satan may try to get rid of every Bible that he can find, but he can't. And I think that's been proven over and over again, especially in World War II when he tried to get rid of every one of them. But these people will encourage others, and they'll strengthen them in the power of the Lord. They'll strengthen them with the gospel. And I think this is where the 144,000 can be placed, 144,000 evangelistic Jews. Can you imagine? And they'll finish the job that the church should have done. And I think it'll be quite an amazing time. Well, Daniel confesses that he doesn't understand much of what God has said to him. Did that make you feel better? Yes. I never call my son twice in the same week, so. He knows exactly what I'm going to ask him, too. That's weird. So, but I feel better about the fact that we don't understand everything in Daniel's book, because it means that it wasn't for us. It hasn't been. It may come to that. Who knows what's ahead, and it could be very quickly, but not now, not today, at least not this minute. But I feel better about that. And things can change. What I thought 25 years ago was quite different than what I think today. And I think most of it is because I understand the Word of God. And nothing ever surprises me anymore. So that helps. The Holy Spirit took a long time to get that through my head, but He's finally getting it through my weak head. But Daniel had some information. You know, I don't know how much, but I think he had most of Isaiah and quite a bit of Jeremiah, and I'm not sure if any of the others, because but enough. And of course, he had visions, which helped him a lot. But you know what? We have a lot of resources. You know, we have all of the prophets. We have all of the timeline. That's why I thought this was a good time to get this timeline again, because it shows you there's a beginning and an end, and it's all tied together, and it's the Lord's story. History is His story. So, but there's still some things we don't understand. And you can study it forever and still say, I don't know. So don't throw tomatoes too quickly. Well, how long will the fulfillment of these wonders be? That's what Daniel was wanting to know. How long will the Antichrist be allowed to oppress the people of God during the tribulation? That's a great question, because what's beautiful about it is the tribulation is only 7 years, and so there's a time limit. And if the Lord hadn't put a time limit on it, nobody would survive. Everybody would have been done in. So, how long the Antichrist? Well, you get that saying time times time and a half equals, anyway, 7 years anyway you cut it, because my math's not too good. So, but before the angel answered the question, he raised both hands to heaven and swore by Him who lives forever. In ancient times, raising one hand in an oath was a way of showing the seriousness of it. But if you raised both hands, it was absolutely important. So who was raising what hands and who was talking? I don't know. But I ask those questions to see what you can do with it. Oh, that's not fair, I know. But I think the one in the linen cloth is the Lord. And because Daniel doesn't mention the names of the other two, I just have a feeling it's Michael and Gabriel. But I don't know. I can't swear by it. Neither can you. So we can remain friends. Sort of. You should have been at a leaders' meeting Monday. I thought, my goodness. I sit there and enjoy it. But you say, well, listen, I did the math, and there's a problem here. There's 75 days. What about those 75 days? Called sun again? Because I couldn't find anything I was satisfied. So you can see I was writing on the back of my lesson while he was talking, and I said, wait, go back. I don't get it. But those 75 days tie in with the three resurrections. Now, I'm not asking you to swear by this, but I'll just give you which seemed very reasonable to me because it can be backed by Scripture. And the first resurrection is the rapture. And that could happen at any time because he said he'd come like a thief in the night. What does a thief do? He doesn't knock on your front door and say, I want to rob you. He steals in and steals what he wants. And that could happen at any time. And I'll give you the third one before I give the second, because I'm still struggling with the second. The third resurrection is the white throne judgment. That is after the millennium. Christ will have lived on earth for 1,000 years. And at the end of that, all the people that have not accepted the Lord will be raised to the white throne, God himself, and he will ask them, what have you done with my son? And so it's not a real good time. The middle one, the second resurrection, from those what we've had this week, and doesn't add up math-wise, the reason he feels it's 75 days is that this resurrection is the rest of believers on the earth, and he said that will take some time, sorting the goats from the sheep, and leaving the believers with the Lord.
So this is after the rapture?
After trib. Which would also include the Jews.
Okay.
So, as I say, this is the one I'm a little fuzzy on, and he was really pretty dogmatic with it, throwing an awful lot of verses out. So I thought, okay, I'll give it to you this way, because he definitely knows and I don't. He reads his Bible through every year in Hebrew and Greek. So, okay. That's what he said. So that would be at the end of the tribulation, and it's primarily the Jews, but it's also the rest of believers in the world. And how will he know? They did not receive the mark of the beast, and they didn't worship Satan. That's how he knows they're good guys. And they will join us. Remember, we as Gentiles are grafted into the branch, and the branch originally, of course, was Israel. See, Israel was given the responsibility of taking the gospel out, but instead of taking the gospel out, they rejected the one who the gospel was all about. And very sad, but you know, God gives them another chance, and I just really find that to be just great. Anyway, if that's as clear as mud, don't worry about it. It's going to happen the way God's going to pull it off. The Antichrist reign would be, you know, that times and a half a time, which would be 3.5 years, and then that'll be Jacob's big trouble. It'll be primarily, the horror will be against the Jews. But as I read the book of Revelation, I realize there's so much horror in there that you think, boy, I'll be glad I'm not going to be around, because the earth is going to experience terrible things too. And of course, that sun scorching the people, burning them up, there's just a lot of stuff, and all those demons coming out of the pit, it's going to be big trouble. Well, Daniel wanted to know more, saying, please give me more details. There was something, that a verse here that really spoke to my heart, the verse before 8, where it says the people have been completely shattered. All these things will be finished when they've been, the holy people, that would be the Jews, that have become believers, have been completely shattered. All these things will be finished. And why that spoke to my heart is because that means when they are broken, they'll realize, or at that time when the enemy is going to take over Jerusalem and they're not going to have a chance, then they will be broken. Now, I don't know what happened in your life, but I had to be broken up one side and down the other before I accepted the Lord, because my religion was enough. And you can't tell me anything. Boy, when I look back on those days, so that's why I like people to have be open to a question box, because I had so many questions. And sometimes we can't answer them, but that's all right. Better to have a question out there. Other people probably have the same problem. But the Antichrist will enact his satanic ministry for the same length of time. This is another thing to look at, that Jesus had his ministry on earth. Now, who's the great fraudulent person? Satan. And who is the one that imitates Christ? Oh, he'll raise people from the dead during this time. And everybody will follow him because they say, look at that. He is a liar, chief liars. But I appreciated the fact that the Jews had to be broken or shattered before they realized who the Messiah was. And it comes right about that time the daily sacrifice is done away with and the abomination of desolation. That's about 3.5 years. But what they tell Daniel? Oh, just sit down, Daniel. We'll give you all the dates and times and places. No. I don't know if he could have handled it. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and you will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Now, there is a time for Daniel to receive all that he has. This paper was figured out by, was it Larkin? It's to give you the idea. The first time I handed something out like this out, I had made it myself when I was in college. And it came out pretty much the same. So this one is so neat and tidy that I want you to have. But several ladies that came to that study that year had no idea that the Bible had a beginning and an ending. Our schools have not really taught much about creation. It all ties together. And I'm glad of this chart because it has a lot of verses in it if you want to look anything up. Not totally clear on resurrection, but you can see the blue. There is Christ goes back to heaven, and then he comes again at the rapture, the next blue line. And who does he bring with him back to heaven, or the bride of Christ, us ladies? We will have the judgment seat of Christ in heaven at that time and the marriage feast of the Lamb. You'll be able to eat all you want. And we'll all have healthy bodies and all the rest. So I long for that day. But I really long for the time I can see the Lord. And then he reigns with us, with his saints. That would be also from the Old Testament. And believers that have been raised during the millennium kingdom. I'll just leave that with you. It says it's 1,000 years. But we also know Scripture says 1,000 years is like a day in the Lord's life, so we'll just have to wait and see for a lot of things. But then there is an end, and I like to think it's not an end, it's a new beginning. Can you imagine being with your friends and your loved ones and enjoying what's ahead? There's verses in Romans I want to close with, and the Living Bible says it so easily. It encourages us to live righteously. This talks about the Ten Commandments. All 10 are wrapped up in this one, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Oh, I don't love myself. What am I going to do? Well, let me tell you, if you take a shower and you take care of your skin and you get by clothes, you're loving yourself. So don't tell me you don't love yourself.
Romans
13. Love does no wrong to anyone. That's why it fully satisfies all of God's requirements. It is the only law you need. Another reason for right living of the Lord is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day of his return will soon be here. So quit the evil deeds and darkness and put on your armor of right living. As we who live in the daylight should. be decent and true in everything you do, so that all can approve of your behavior. Just think for a minute. Can everybody approve of my behavior? Can my kids approve of my behavior? You know, are there things that need to go? So it says, this is for me. Don't spend your time in wild parties. Well, like my half a kidney could handle that. And that all approve of your behavior. Don't spend your time in wild parties and getting drunk or in adultery and lust or fighting or jealousy. Oh, none of you could do that. No. 9 on down. And the last verse is, but ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you live as you should, and don't make plans to enjoy evil. I thought that was well said in the Living Bible. Let's ask the Lord to bless us this week, in the Easter week. Father God, we come before you and we're grateful again for the life of Daniel. What an example he was to us. And Lord, we have much still to learn from his life. Thank you, Lord, that it's not this life only, that you have a whole plan. And that when you come again and when the white throne judgment is over and done, that it's new beginnings for everyone. You must love us beyond belief, Lord. I'll never understand that, but I thank you for it. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the fact that you would die for each of us. And I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, has only religion or only has a set of rules or feels this is no big deal, I pray that before the day is out, they might get aside with you and kneel down and receive you as their Lord and begin to live for you. May you help each of us to do a better job of living for you. May we be lights in this dark world. Give wisdom where it's needed, Lord. And may this holy time of the year, may it speak to our hearts. And may we give much praise back to you. And Lord, each of these ladies, we just praise you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.